Has God ever asked you to do something crazy? Perhaps something that you thought was foolish? Have you ever said no to God? Gina Wallin, the producer of this show, she said no to God when God called her and her husband to go to Russia. You will find out in a few moments from her what happened next. And you will be inspired by what God did through her as she accepted the mission and said, I will go, right here on Revival for a Mission. Sometimes God calls us for things that we really don't want to do. Others of us have never heard God's call in any particular way. Pastor Wilson, how do we find out what God is calling us to do?
Well, there are a lot of ways. First of all, you need to be close to the Lord through Bible study, through prayer. Prayer really is a key factor in God impressing you with certain things. As you talk to God, He will respond to you. You also need to listen to other people. People can influence you to do certain things, but you need to know that that influence is coming from the Lord. And if you place it all before Him, the Lord will make the way plain. That's what Scripture tells us. Now, the challenge is sometimes people refuse to say yes to the Lord. I mean, in another episode, you were telling us about your calling, so to speak, because of the events that took place, you were named Samuel because God gave you to your mother and father. And you know, in that little story of Samuel in 1 Samuel 3, it says there that when God called Samuel, Samuel indicated to the Lord, he said, Lord, yes, here I am. Tell me what you want me to do. Speak. For your servant hears. When God calls, we need to be sharing in a special way with the Lord. Yes, Lord, I will go. I will be part of what you have planned for me. Speak, and I will go.
With all my heart, with all.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. Today we're talking to the person, the producer, who lined up all the other stories that we do in this program. But today we're going to hear her story. Gina, welcome to Revival for Mission.
Thank you. It's really good to be here. And I really like Revival for Mission because the Lord really does revive us. And the reason He does revive us is for mission.
And you're going to be kind of on the other side of all the stories that you helped to produce and all that kind of thing in organizing. I'm anxious to hear some of these stories that you're going to be sharing.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to share.
Some time ago, you found yourself at gunpoint in South Sudan by some soldiers that were holding you there.
Yeah.
God gave you a lot of courage at that time, but that courage did not suddenly come up in South Sudan. There were many other situations that helped you to have that courage and to prepare you for that. How did God prepare you before this crucial moment in your life to be ready?
Well, back a few decades ago, when I was young and foolish, God was very merciful to me and gave me a wonderful miracle experience. My husband and I went to visit the Grand Tetons, a beautiful national park in the north of the United States, not far from the Canadian border.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. So we went for a hike, and before we went, my husband said, there is this beautiful flower meadow that I think you're going to really like. It's an alpine flower meadow. Let's go. And I said, yeah, but we don't have anything with us. We don't have water with us. We don't have any food. And he said, that's okay. It won't take very long at all. Let's just go and we'll have a good breakfast and we'll be back before you know it. And I said, okay, let's go. So we got on this little raft across Jenny Lake and then we got off the other side. We started up the trail. It was a lovely morning, no question about it. And we kept walking for an hour, another hour. It was okay. I was kind of thirsty, wishing I'd brought some water, but it was okay. We kept walking another hour. I'm wondering, okay, where is this flower meadow? And I asked my husband, Clint, and he said, oh, it's just a little bit further on. So we walk another hour. By this time, the sun is high overhead. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. It's getting, you know, close to lunchtime, but we're walking anyway. And
and you've been walking at least 3 hours now?
Yes, yes, yes. And no water, nothing. We're just walking. Another hour goes by, 4 hours. I am thirsty. I'm thirsty at this point. And the flower meadow, it's just up ahead. And I'm starting to care less about the flower meadow. And I'm thinking, I would really like some water. And I was taught from my youngest years that if you have a problem, you always tell God about it. So I started praying, Lord, I know it was foolish to come on this hike without anything, not even water. And I know that maybe this isn't exactly what you meant when you said your bread and water will be sure, but I am really thirsty and I'm getting hungry too, and I don't know how this could happen, but I would really like something to eat and drink, some bread and water. And you know what happened? Nothing happened. And worse, not only did nothing happen, but I did not have peace in my heart because I was not honest with God. Because the truth was, I didn't really want bread and water. I wanted something more, but I was too embarrassed to ask God. And as we kept walking along, this little voice kept saying to me, Gina, just tell him what you want. I said, I can't tell him that. And the voice said, don't you think he already knows anyway?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, good point. I bet he does. And so finally, I got my courage up and I said, Lord, I'm really thirsty and I'm getting hungry too. And bread and water would be okay, but what I'd really like, and mind you, this is way out in the wilderness at this point. I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing there, right? And I say, what I'd really like, I would really like some crackers, some cheese, and some orange juice. Now, I know that this is a crazy request, but I just had to tell you what's on my heart. And you know what happened? Nothing. Except I had peace in my heart because I had been honest with God. And I had told him what was really on my heart. So we didn't walk too much farther. And I told my husband, I don't care about this flower meadow anymore. I will sit here on this rock under the tree. And if you want, go ahead and go find the flower meadow. And I'll just wait here. And he said, okay. And off he went. So I'm sitting there on this rock just at peace, at peace. And before long, these other hikers come along. And they sit down in a nice shady place, and we're just talking for a while. You know, where are you from? How long have you been here? And after a while, they said, well, I guess we'll be going. And they just started walking down the trail, and I will never forget what happened. I'm watching them. The last guy, he hesitates. He stops. He turns around. He comes back to me. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? I don't have much. All I have, I just have some crackers, some cheese, and some orange juice.
Oh, my goodness.
Would you like them?
That is amazing.
Yeah. Answer to prayer.
Oh, absolutely.
Simple request, but fulfilled.
Yeah. And God knew I would need that.
What impact did that have in your life?
Huge. Huge. It taught me, first of all, be honest with God. Just share your heart with him. Nothing is too big or too small. He really cares. And he really listens. And he will really answer.
So you go from a situation where you are thirsty and hungry, but you know that by the end of that day, unless you really get lost, you will have something to eat or to drink at least. And how many years had you been married by this point?
We had been married a couple of years.
Okay, that's interesting. Did he come back with,
oh, yes,
with the flower
meadow? Oh, yes, he did. He came back, and I said, Clint, you've got to hear what happened. You've got to hear. And I told him, and he said, great, where is it? And I felt...
Well, honey, I prayed for it, and I ate it.
I said... I'm so sorry. I'm trying to wait, but it was so good. I hate it all. But you know what he says? He says, you know, the verse in the Bible, you ask not, yet you receive not because you ask not.
So now you go from this situation to South Sudan with soldiers holding you at gunpoint, and you pray once again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What happens? How did you get there and what happened?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And let's just explain, though, that Gina is really a journalist. She's a writer, and she was on assignment. So you didn't just end up in South Sudan just because, well, it just ended
it wasn't,
up there.
You were not chasing.
You were there
a flower
on
meadow.
A mission for the Lord.
Yes.
Gathering stories and all that kind of thing. But tell us what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So my job was to gather mission stories, and I was with a videographer, and we were out getting pictures of the surrounding area, and we crossed a bridge, and there was a soldier there with a very large machine gun who stopped the car, told us to get out. And so we were taken out of the car and went down this hill and into this little hut. And I see lots of soldiers and I see lots of guns, big guns. And we are taken inside the second room and they start yelling at us, who are you? What are you doing? And, you know, where are your credentials? So we pull out our missionary credentials for the Seventh-day Adventist Church and he throws it on the desk. This is meaningless, totally meaningless. Give us your phones, give us your passports. And so we did, of course. And we're sitting there, and I'm wondering what is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I see them bring in two of the very large guns. And that's when I just prayed very quickly. I said, Lord, I'm yours. And the other thought I had was, if I can get a message out, it would be tell my family that I love them. And so I'm praying and knowing that the same God who hears prayers for crackers, cheese, and orange juice also hears this prayer too.
Amen.
And so I'm sitting there and very distinctly, I have the impression you need to tell him the truth, as in God's truth. You need to tell him the truth. And I thought, wow, yeah. This guy is not going to come to an evangelistic meeting. None of these soldiers are going to probably show up in the church, right? And I started to think, why am I here? Why did God put me here in this situation right now? Maybe it's to reach these soldiers for him. If I don't do it, who will? I'm here. And so I told God, I said, okay, show me how. And this amazing peace just enveloped me. It was like a warm blanket just surrounding me. And I knew that no matter what happened, whether I lived or died, it was okay because I was so secure in God's hands. And that my mission at that point was to tell them the truth about God. So I'm praying and I'm waiting for an opportunity. And after a while, they settle down and they actually hand us our passports back. And I thought, okay, now's the opportunity. Well, in my bag, they didn't take the bag, interestingly enough. They just wanted my passport and phone. I always carry a few things. Like I had some pens, Adventist mission pens. So I got those out. I put them on the desk, and the head guy says, oh, this is good. And I'm thinking, oh, good. This is good. And then I always carry some little pamphlets called glow tracks. And I pulled that out, and it was called When Freedom Dies. And it shows the Statue of Liberty toppling over. And it's a very powerful little tract. And I said, you will want to read this because it's going to tell you what will happen in the very near future. And he agreed. And
you just went straight for it.
Why else did God put me there? Right? I mean, who else is going to reach these soldiers? Who else? Right? And so he took it, and then I said, may I pray for you? And he said, yes. I said, what's your name? He said, Wilson. And I would have laughed too had it not been very serious situation. I said, Wilson? He said, yes, Wilson. And so I prayed for Wilson and for his soldiers and for their country and that peace would come. And when I said amen, he was smiling and he let us go.
What a witness.
Yeah. It was an amazing opportunity, and it was an amazing time to really sense the presence of God.
God whispered to you that you had to tell the truth, and you had to tell God's truth to this soldier. And many of us have these impressions of what we should do next, and we're often embarrassed. We often choose to find some rationalization for not doing it. Even if it is a simple delivering of a book to someone or just putting ourselves in this vulnerable situation where we are presenting something that is of great value to us that they may reject, which is never a nice situation. Mm. Now, saying I will go when God tells us to do something is difficult in these small moments, but it's also difficult in the big moments. So you've lived everywhere. You were telling me the other day that you were in Russia at minus 40 degree weather. And you, when God called you and Clinton to go to Russia, what was that like saying, yes, God, I will go or we will go in that situation?
Well, actually, I said, no. I said, no, God. I said, no, Clint. I said, Clint, if you're going to Russia, you're going alone.
Go find that medal. By yourself.
and so he backed off. And he said, if you're not going, I'm not going either. But he kept praying. And the Lord started working on my heart. And he said, remember Jonah. You know, Jonah's a real story. And I thought, you know, if God is really calling us, it's a serious thing to say no to God. So one day I had a real conversation with God. I mean, a very serious conversation with God, and I was not happy with God. After all, we were expecting our first child, and I was about 3 months along, and really the last place I wanted to go at that time, it was actually the Soviet Union. And I had grown up hearing about what happens to Christians in the Soviet Union, and I was not real thrilled about going there. But I told God, this is very scary. I'm scared to go. You know that I'm not a brave person. I'm not a strong person. I'm a very weak person. And I shook my Bible at God. I said, you've got to talk to me. You've got to tell me what you want me to do. This is crazy. This is foolish. Why are you calling us to go to Russia, to the Soviet Union? I'm expecting my first child. Don't you even care that I'm expecting my first child? You want me to go with a newborn baby to this cold, scary place? This is foolishness. And I shook my Bible at him and said, you've got to speak to me. And so I opened my Bible and I just started turning the pages. And wouldn't you know it, my eye fell on this very verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 24. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Here I had been telling God, this is foolish. I feel so weak. And he's telling me the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But it goes on, for you see your calling, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And I had been telling him, Who am I? Why would you call me to go there? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And that was it. That was his answer. He answered so directly exactly what my arguments had been. Foolishness, wisdom. Weakness, strength. And I said, okay, God, I don't know how this is going to work out, but it feels like I'm just falling off a cliff right into your arms, and I'm going to trust you to catch me and carry me, and I'm willing to go. I will go.
And soon you were in Russia. How many years did you spend there?
6 years. Some of the best years of my life. I will never forget it. I am so glad I said, yes, I will go. It was such a privilege. It was so wonderful.
And then you've spent years also with your husband, Clint, in Philippines.
Yes, that's right.
And of course, working at the General Conference headquarters. The Lord asks us to do certain things many times that seem difficult, but then he opens the way.
Yeah.
And how have you seen that special touch of God in your life since you have committed your life to him and said, yes, Lord, I will go? How do you see things right now?
Yeah. It's never boring, never boring. It's always an adventure with the Lord. It's always rewarding. And even when I can't see how something is going to work out, I know that I can trust God, that everything will be okay, and that he has a much bigger plan than I could ever hope to dream.
Well, that's a magnificent story. Gina, thank you for sharing that with us and for giving us an insight as to how God touches a life and says, I want you to do this. You refuse and say, no, Lord, no, no, you're going to have to show me exactly what I need to do. And then he does.
He does.
Same thing happened to me and to my wife, actually, even more so. And that's a fascinating story as well in relation to going to Russia. So, and of course, we knew you in Russia, you and Clint, and what a privilege to be able to serve. But God says, I want you to go. And what's our response?
Yes.
And those of you who are viewing and watching, you know, when God is calling you to do something, when he's opening the doors, when he's making the way plain, don't ignore it. And you need to respond as Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6 and in verse 8, after Isaiah was just shown the throne room of God and God had a message. He wanted somebody to go for him, for us, it says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? That's what God was saying. And then it said, Isaiah responded, here am I, send me. In essence, he was saying, I will go. The Lord's calling you right now to do something for him. Don't resist. Tell the Lord, I will go. We'll see you next time on Revival for Mission.
For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the Word of God and prayer.